people, right? You got a whole year of talking to catch up on. Yeah, so they're like, come on, Tom, let us talk. What's the deal? You know, here we are starting off 2013. It's a whole new year, and something happens when you change the calendar. You know, it's just another day, right? Nothing's actually different, but for whatever reason, you change the calendar, and it turns into a time of reflecting, right? You kind of look back at your life over the last year and what God, kind of see where you're at, and you also look forward to maybe what's coming in the next year, and it starts to kind of can refocus us and get us, you know, just centered on you know, what we want to see for the next year and what God would have for us. And how about you? Is anybody here looking for a miracle in 2013? Do you need do you need something new to happen in your life this year? You need God to get in and work in your life. Maybe it's like we heard some prayer requests. Maybe it's a physical miracle. You need healing in your body. You need to experience that this year. Maybe it's some life change that you need to see happen in your life. Maybe you've had some habitual sin that you've carried this sin with you your whole life, and it's just part of your life, and you just kind of come to accept it. And for you to be delivered from that sin, it would be a miracle. Maybe you need that. Maybe there's an addiction even that you know, physical addiction that you have in your life that has colored all parts of your life, and it's just a part of you. You need release from that. You need freedom from that. You need a miracle in that way. Maybe you have a restored relationship. Maybe there's some relationship in your life that is to a point where you've almost given up on it. You think there's no hope, there's no chance. It would have to take a miracle for this thing to happen. Or maybe it's even you and your own outlook. Maybe you've lost hope. Right, maybe you've kind of gotten to a point that you've given up, you've kind of lost hope, and you're just trudging through life day after day, and life was nothing more than that. And you need a miracle. You need reviving of a dead soul. You need a fresh start, a newness in your life. If you need that for 2013, the good news is God wants that for your life, right? All these things God wants for our life. He wants to work in our life. He wants to grow in our relationship with Him. He wants to deliver us from these habitual sins. He wants to bring this change in our life and reconcile us to each other. He wants all these things in our lives. He wants those. So what's the deal? I want those. God wants those. What's the problem? Right? What's the holdup? So the question I have for you today is this. Are you the holdup? Are you preventing Jesus from working in your life? Are you limiting Jesus' work in your life? And this is a question I want to ask as we start 2013 to make sure we have the right focus and are going in the right way, and so we can see God work in our lives. And so if you have a Bible, open it up to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to be discussing that question today, all right? Are you limiting Jesus' work in your life? Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 is what we're going to be looking at today. Before the holidays, we were going through Mark and looking at the life of Jesus. This is the person that we follow and devote our lives to. He's the Lord of our lives, so we want to have a full understanding of Him. And we've seen, coming up to this, some amazing, Jesus doing amazing things. We've seen His power on display. Think back to, you know, before the holidays, and we saw Jesus doing some amazing things. We saw Him exerting His power over the physical world, right? There was a big old storm coming. Everyone's freaking out. Everybody's doing what they can. Nobody can battle this storm. Jesus gets up, and with a word, the storm goes away. The waves calm, all that. All right, we see His power displayed over the spiritual world. There was this guy with all these demons, and he was all possessed, and they didn't know what to do with him. They tried to chain him up, but he bust out the chains, and he was running around just causing a scene, and nobody knew how to handle him. Jesus came, and the demons like bowed down to Him, right? With a word, He cast him out. All right, so we see Jesus' power displayed in all areas and doing amazing things. Just the previous chapter, we see Him raise a girl from the dead. A girl's dead. He's not dead. She's not dead. She's sleeping. Come on up. He raises this girl from the dead. So we see Jesus' power on display in a mighty way. All right? And that leads us up to chapter 6, verse 1. We all there? We found it? Good, good. I try to time that right, you know. Chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Jesus left there and went to His hometown. All right, hometown. Accompanied by His disciples. When the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard Him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given Him, that He even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Him. Jesus said to them, only in His hometown, among His relatives, and in His own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there. except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So here we have it. Jesus has been traveling around doing all this stuff, doing all these miracles, turning the whole world on its end pretty much. He gets to his hometown, and everybody's like, hey, that's little boy Jesus. Remember him? You know, and that's Mary's boy. Yeah, good to see him. Wait, what's he talking about? Right? He's talking about all this teaching and all these things, and he shows up at his hometown where he grew up and where they knew him and all that. And it said when he got there, isn't this interesting? It said in verse 5, he could not do any miracles there. Isn't that interesting? After all this power displayed, everything that God's been doing, and he's doing just amazing things, and it said when he got to his hometown, couldn't do any miracles there. And he said, it says he was amazed at their lack of faith. So that leads us to our first point today. Our foundational truth today is this. If you got fill in the blanks, this is your first fill in the blank. This is what we're going to, our starting point today. We're going to build off of this foundational truth. Jesus' work in our lives is directly linked to our faith in him. Jesus' work in our lives is directly linked to our faith in him. Here we see these people, they had no faith in Jesus Christ, right? They didn't have faith in him. We saw that. So little faith that he was amazed. He's like, are you kidding me? You guys, he was amazed at how little they believed, right? He did miracles there. He was teaching there. They didn't have faith in him. They had no faith, and in a result, he did no miracles. He didn't work there. Now, here we have it, because we know that God is all-powerful, right? We know that he could do all things. We know that that his power is limitless. There's no limit to his power. You know, that by him and for him, all things were made. That he in himself holds all things together. We see his power displayed through all these things. So we know it's not a power issue, right? But for whatever reason, he got there and he couldn't do any miracles. So we see this tie between miracles and faith all through the Bible, all right? Not just here. We see this tie all over the place about faith in God and the works of God. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Mark 9:23, everything is possible for him who believes. Mark 11:24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. All right, so clearly there is a tie between faith and God working. All right, there's a tie between faith and God working. Now we know, right, that we know that God is, it's not that God is powerless outside of our faith, right? Like he went there to do miracles in his hometown. He's showing up there in Nazareth. And it's not like he tried to do miracles. Like, oh, no power. Nobody believing. Melting. You know, it wasn't like that where he was dependent on people believing in him. Not like the end of Elf. You know that movie Elf? Where Santa's sleigh is powered by Christmas spirit, you know? And it was losing power, so they had to create Christmas spirit so it would have power to fly. It's not like that, all right? Jesus' power is not dependent on faith. It's not like he's powerless outside of our faith. We know, we saw that before all creation, right? Before anything was created or made, he was still all-powerful. Before there was any creatures there to believe in him, to have faith in him, he was still all-powerful, all right? So it's not like he's dependent, like, oh, I can't, like kryptonite. It's not like it's kryptonite for Jesus that if there's not enough faith in the room, I can't do a miracle, I can't work, you know? It's not that way at all, okay? His power is limitless. We know that, right? That his power is not dependent on our faith. But it's our lack of faith that prevents us from experiencing that power in our lives, all right? It's our lack of faith that puts us in a position that we don't receive it. We don't recognize it. It doesn't come to fruition in our lives because of our lack of faith, all right? So there's definitely a tie between faith and the works of God, all right? So there's a tie there, but at the same time, it's not like God's dependent on our faith or otherwise I can't do anything, but instead it's our experience of those things. All right, so we're going to see from the people in Nazareth what it was that short-circuited their faith. What it was about their faith that made them it short-circuited their faith so that it limited it and couldn't, it put it in a position that where they were in a position where they couldn't experience the miracles of God in their life. They couldn't experience the work of God in their life. So what was it about their faith that limited it? And this is something that's going to inform us as we go forward, right, in 2013 to make sure we don't fall into the same issues that they had in Nazareth, in his hometown. Okay, so first one. A short-circuited faith makes assumptions about Jesus based on a familiarity with him. Kind of a mouthful. Those words are important. I was trying to cut it down. I was like, no, I want those words there. A short-circuited faith makes assumptions about Jesus based on a familiarity with him. When Jesus got to Nazareth, they thought they knew Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's Mary's boy there. Hey, Jesus, good to see you. Boy, that, he could sure build a cabinet. Right? And they thought they knew him. Oh, he grew up with my boy Josiah over here. And they hung out together and they played ball together. And, he used to clean my windows. And actually, I don't know if you had windows. Did they have windows there? Well, whatever. They were familiar with Jesus, right? They were familiar with him. They grew up with him. They knew him as a child, as a youth, as a teen. They knew Jesus, all right? So when they're like, hey, that's Mary's boy. And they're very comfortable with him. They're very familiar with him. And because of their familiarity with him, they thought they knew him so well, they made assumptions about him, about what he could do and what he couldn't do. So when he started teaching from the law, like, what's he talking about? That's Jesus. That's the boy Jesus. Why is he telling us what to do from the law? He's no spiritual, he's no scholar. He no, what's he got to tell me? That's Jesus. I know him. And, you know, I always beat him at football. And, he doesn't know anything, you know. And they made assumptions about him. I mean, they've kind of put him in a box of what he could do and what he couldn't do. All right. And based on those assumptions, they couldn't recognize who he fully was. Right. Those assumptions limited their faith. They couldn't have faith in him because they were so familiar with him that they made assumptions about him. Does that make sense? You guys understand? Okay. We do the same thing today. We fall into the same thing today. Check this out. Maybe you've been coming to church your whole life, and you know every story, and you know everything Jesus ever said in the Bible. If it's got red letters on it, you know it, you know? And we get so familiar with Jesus, all right? We get so familiar with his story, so familiar with his teachings, that we think we got him figured out. And we start to make assumptions on what Jesus does and what he doesn't do. And what areas he'll work in and what areas he won't work in. And maybe we need him to work in our life, but no, that's not really what Jesus does. He just kind of does his thing. And we make assumptions and we kind of put him in a box, this box of our assumptions of how he'll work, what he can do and what he will do. All right? We think that's all he'll do and he won't do those outside things. And it limits our faith. It limits how much we'll believe in him to work in our lives. It limits where we'll follow him. It limits the role he plays in our life when we make these assumptions about him based on the familiarity we have with him. Maybe you know this so well, you think, he's got nothing new. I got that all figured out. All right? There's nothing new in there for me. I know all the teachings. I know all of it. And we kind of limit him. That's what he has to offer. I know what it is. And it limits our faith. It puts our faith in a box when we start to make these assumptions start making these assumptions about Jesus based on our familiarity with him. Have you lost your awe in Jesus? Your amazement, your anything is possible. Think when maybe you're new to Christ and you still have that. That's great. But for some of us, maybe you've been walking with Christ so long, you think, it's just kind of, that all that stuff was back when now I kind of got it figured out where he'll be and what he'll do and what he won't do in my life. But the awe of Jesus, he can do all things. He can work in amazing ways. He has power over all things. He can do amazing things in my life. I can trust him fully because of all this, because he is active and living and that amazement and awe. And for a lot of us, we just kind of go to church on Sundays and it's just a familiar thing as part of our routine. And we've kind of lost some of that awe, all right, because of the familiarity we have with Jesus. And we make assumptions about what he'll do and what he won't do. And it can short-circuit our faith. It can limit our faith and limit how we see God work in our lives. Because we won't trust him beyond what we think he'll really do. Right? We won't step out on a limb for him because, like, well, he only works in this area of my life. He doesn't work in this other area. All right. So we have a short-circuited faith when we make assumptions on Jesus, like what he'll do and what he won't do. All right? And that can short-circuit our faith. Second thing, a short-circuited faith recognizes Jesus' works and wisdom without accepting who he really is. Recognizes Jesus' works and wisdom without accepting who he really is. Isn't it crazy that these people, right, that he grew up with, that they knew him and all that, he was amazed at their lack of faith, right? We heard that. They had no faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And check this out. What they saw in him. At the end of verse 2, it says this. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? They recognize Jesus' wisdom, All right? They recognized the wisdom in the words he spoke. They saw the miracles. They saw his works. They acknowledged them as miracles, not some hocus-pocus trick. But they said, this guy's got wisdom. This guy has works. Yet they had no faith. Is that something? That belief in the wisdom, in his teachings, and in his work didn't equal faith in their life, all right? They saw what he did. They saw what he taught. They saw it was right and the wisdom of it. They called it good, and they saw the miracles, but they had no faith. So faith is obviously something bigger than just understanding his teachings and seeing his miracles. It's bigger than that, all right? When it came time, they understood those things. They saw they understood his teachings, and they saw him work. They said, that's amazing. They were amazed at that. But where they took offense is about who he was. When he was teaching about who he really was, they saw what he did, they saw what he taught, but when it came down to who he was, oh, no, that's Mary's boy. That's Jesus. And they couldn't get beyond that, all right? They accepted, right? They recognized his works and his wisdom without accepting who he really was, all right? They didn't see that they had a hard time when he says, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Savior, I'm ushering in the kingdom of God. Oh, what are you talking about? And they had a hard time with that, right? And it says they even took offense at that. Right? They wanted to just laugh it off, but they took offense. Are you kidding me? What, you think I'm stupid? I know you, you know? I remember when you wore diapers. And they had a hard time with it, right? They took offense at the idea that Jesus, about who Jesus really was. And for us today, I think a lot of us, we are okay with the teachings of Jesus. We want to understand the teachings of Jesus. We're okay with the miracles. We want to see God work in our life. We want those two things. But a lot of us, we may not be okay when it comes down to who Jesus really is. We may want the teachings, we may want the miracles, but we bristle when Jesus says, I'm going to be Lord of your life. I'm the boss of your life. I get to have say. I sit on the throne, you don't. We bristle at that. All right, we'll accept his works, we'll accept his wisdom, but we won't accept who he really is. And we won't trust our life fully to him. Call him Lord of our lives. All right, we'll follow him fully. We're still going our own way. We're looking for his advice, right? Wisdom. We're looking for his intervention in miracles for like some cool stuff, right? But we're not trusting fully our lives to him. And because of that, it short circuits our faith. And we don't see him working in our lives fully. Just like we saw with these guys. So in closing, check this out. I say in closing, I got more, but that gets your attention once, all right? It's towards the bottom of the fill in the blanks. They used to teach us, this is a side note, they used to teach us in preaching class. When you say in closing, that gets everyone's attention. You got two sentences, and you can just nail them, all right? You got everyone's attention. There's no two words like in closing or in conclusion that you're going to have their focus more than any other. But, and I just wasted it telling that story. But so here we are, 2013, all right? So we start off 2013. We need to see God work in our lives, all right? We need to have our faith fully in him. All right, we got to check these things that limit our faith. When we have grown so familiar with him that familiarity, that we make assumptions about him, and we limit what we think he'll really do in our lives. We need to recognize not just his works and his wisdom, but his role, his position, who he really is. Right, who he is as Lord over our lives. So in 2013, last fill in the blank there. To start 2013, renew your faith in the person, position, and power of Jesus Christ. Renew your faith in the person, the position, and the power of Jesus Christ. And the person of Jesus Christ is our Savior, as our Messiah, right? He is your advocate. He gets us to, through him, we have forgiveness of our sins. As his position, as firstborn over all creation, as the one on the throne, Lord over all things. And when I say all things, your life is part of all those things, right? As Lord of our lives, all right? That he's the boss. And power, that he has power over all things as well. There's nothing outside of that power. That he is, it's not just what we think he can do or will do, but he can do all things, all right? He can do all things. Recognize that, renew our faith in the person, position, and power of Jesus Christ. And when you hear faith, lots of times when we think faith, we think, well, I put my faith in Jesus, and therefore I'm in. And that's where that sits, right? I've done that. That's handled. But faith is kind of I think that limits what faith is really in our life. Let me explain it this way. I'm going to use a whiteboard. You guys okay with that? Hang on. All right. You like that? It's high tech. Are you guys ready? Okay. T Check it out this way. If you're any shepherds in the room? Shepherds? William's a shepherd. Okay. If you're a shepherd, I heard this. There's a guy from Australia who's a shepherd, and they do shepherding a little different in Australia. And they said there's two ways to keep sheep close. One way is to build a fence, right? And the sheep got to stay in the fence. That's one way to keep sheep close, right? You build a fence and they stay in the fence. The other way to keep sheep close is to build a well, a water source. And sheep will automatically just kind of stay close to the water source because they know they need it to live. And they can roam wherever they want, but they know they got to come back to the water source. That's another way to keep sheep close. I think a lot of time we view faith, we view our relationship with God, even as a church when we're ministering to others, we view our relationship with Christ kind of like this. It's a fence, all right? And these people are in. Let's put Christ in the middle here. Yeah, these people are in. These people are out, and that's all. There's two distinctions, in and out, right? Faith is either you're in the fence or you're out of the fence. It doesn't matter if you're right here or right there, you're out. It doesn't matter if you're right here, that's a cross, a little different. Or if you're right there, you're in, doesn't matter, right? We view it that way sometimes. And that's how we look at our faith. Faith is a matter of getting over the fence, you know, it's going through the gate, and then you're in the fence, and then you do whatever you're going to do with your life. But I think maybe a more accurate picture is this model here, where we've got Jesus in the middle as the well, as the source of nourishment, and pointing, and faith is really about pointing ourselves to Christ, pointing ourselves to always moving in this direction. All right. So our goal as a church and in our faith, yes, we want to move people towards Christ. All right. So it's not like we're done with these people, and these are the people that we need to work on, but these people are all set. We want to get everyone towards Christ, all right? So whether you're here and need to move towards Christ, or here you need to move towards Christ, it's moving towards Christ. You guys see that? You see the difference there? That doesn't matter how, if you're right here, it's not like your work is done, and now you're on your own, you got inside the fence. No, we're working towards Christ. So our faith is something that is always directing us towards Christ. So when I say renew your faith in who Jesus really is, this is what I'm talking about, all right? Yes, you're inside the fence. Good. I'm so glad. Praise God you're inside the fence. But let's get more about centering, about focusing on who Christ really is, directing ourselves to Him, turning towards Him, and always have this mindset of who, wherever you are in your walk today, maybe you're all the way out here, and you just stumbled in here today, and you don't even know why you're here. My goal is to get you turned this way, okay? And if you're right here, maybe with Christ for a long time, but you're kind of doing your own thing, turn to Christ. Maybe you've been really close with Him, and you have a daily time with Him, and you're just on fire for Him. Keep it pointed towards Him, all right? And getting closer and closer to Christ. When I say renew your faith in Christ, I'm not saying jump the fence. I'm saying let's get directed to Him, all right? You're already in the fence, great, but let's turn our focus on Him so we can see Him work in our lives, all right? That we don't put a box around Him, limiting how He's going to work, limiting what the things He'll do in our lives. That we don't assume that He's going to... Yeah, don't make assumptions on what He will do and what He won't do, but we understand who He fully is. And not just for the miracle, not just for the work, not just the wisdom, but as Lord over our lives. All right, that we have a faith that turns us that we're trusting fully in Him in these areas of our lives. All right, does that make sense? We got it? Okay. Oh, I'm going to put that over there. Okay, so how we're going to do that today, we're going to end with communion today. All right? Communion is just a ceremony remembering Christ's sacrifice for us, what He did for us, all right? When He went to the cross for each one of us. It's remembering His body broken for us, His blood shed for us. And so how this is going to work, we're going to have a time. Terry's going to play a couple songs. You got two for us? Does that work? All right, Terry's going to play two songs for us. During these next two songs, you can come forward and take communion. And as you do, I ask you to do this, to refocus, to renew your faith in Jesus Christ. Not just about the fence. Maybe you're already in the fence. Great. But to renew that focus in Jesus Christ. Renew your direction. Renew your trust in who He really is. All right? Expecting Him to do great things in 2013. So as we start this new year, we want to start it right, remembering who Jesus is. So as we come forward, you're going to take a cracker representing His body broken for you. You're going to take a cup representing His blood shed for you. And you can take it right here. Or you can take it back to your seat and take it on your own. We're not going to do it all together, so on your own time, you can do that as well. Okay? And now finally, one last thing. Communion is something for believers, for those who have trusted their lives in Jesus Christ. right? Who've put their faith in Jesus Christ. If that's not you today, if you're not ready for that, that's okay. I don't want to push you beyond where you're comfortable. But I do ask, if that's not you, that you skip out on this. Just don't come forward and do communion today. All right? I'm just going to trust you in that one. But if you've never trusted Jesus with your life, but you're ready to today, today's the day to do it. You can take communion today. It's putting your trust in Him. Recognize that I can't do it on my own. Recognizing who He really is as your Savior, as your Lord, and trusting Him for forgiveness of your sins. So if you want to do that today, you can. All right, you can today. And come forward and take that communion. All right, come forward and take your first communion in that way. So that said, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to come forward and do communion. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You so much that we thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your work. We thank You for all You do in our lives. We thank You that You're active and that we can trust You. God, I pray for each one of us today. God, I pray for those of us that maybe have known You for a long time and we've kind of grown familiar with You, and with that we've kind of just limited our faith. God, I pray for those of us who kind of don't think You'll work beyond what we've seen in the past. God, I pray for each one of us today that You would open our eyes to You, open our faith to You so we can experience You fully. God, I pray also for those who haven't trusted You fully. God, that maybe we'd like to see You work and like to learn Your teachings, but beyond that, we haven't really put You Lord of our lives. God, I pray for those today that You'd help us to do that, that we would trust You fully in our lives, and it's scary and it takes trust, but help us to do that. So God, as we take communion, we thank You so much for the sacrifice You made for each one of us, for the love You showed each one of us, and as just help us to live in response to that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as you feel led, feel free to come forward and take communion.
Will you stand and sing with me? Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Singing, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power in Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt this heart of stone. Singing, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Singing, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. And singing, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Singing Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as. Let's sing that again. Oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. You washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Amen. If you can, if you stand this as we sing this last song, if you take the red hymnals in the back of the pew and turn to page 157. As we renew our faith, and as Tom pointed out, as we're in this open faith, open field, open sphere, open world, and Jesus is at the center, the cross is the reminder of where and why we put our faith in. It's because of the cross that Jesus is our Savior and that he has redeemed us and we have the forgiveness of sin. This last song just points us back. Now, we should always be directed and pointed back to the cross. On the center where Jesus paid the price for our sins. This last song is just at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight and now I am happy all the day. Let the words of this song be our goal. Let this be our resolution that we would ever be pointed towards the cross of Jesus Christ, that our focus and our attention and our desire would be to always find ourselves and place ourselves and direct ourselves towards the cross. Amen. You can clap. Let's sing. At last ended my Savior bleed. And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, oh, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the days. Verse 2, was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon a tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, oh, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy on the day. Verse 3, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature sinned. At the cross, oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the days. Last verse. Oh, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Oh, at the cross, and where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my shine, and now I am happy. One more time, at the cross, oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the days. And now I am happy all the days. And now I am happy all the days. Let's sing it one more time. At the cross, oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the days. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thanks so much for coming today. That closes out our service. If anyone brought offering to give, you notice we don't pass baskets here. So if you have offering to give, there's a box in the back. Just slide in the top of the black box on the stand there. I invite you to not just to head out, but you can come next door. We're going to have some snacks out there and a little fellowship time. So right next door in the next building over. But God bless you all. Thanks for being here today.